Okay, so I'm here with John O'Shea, who is the man behind the Pink Ladder Football project. So can you tell us a little bit about the philosophy behind the project and where it came from?
Yeah, certainly. Pig's Bladder Football, where did it start? In my own work, for several years, I've been interested in the processes behind a lot of the products and the things that we experience in society. And as a fan of football, I've wanted for quite a long time to do a project connected to football. So I think it's quite a well-known kind of fact or, historical anecdote that the football's originated out of being made from pig's bladders.
Mm.
And so that's something that's always stuck in my mind as you know, slightly peculiar, especially as in living memory. A lot of people have memories of their parents or their grandparents using pig's bladders to make footballs. And when we think of football today, our kind of experience of the game of football on television or in the stadiums, it's quite a sanitised, it's presented as quite a clean and quite a synthetic sport, you know, a globalised sport. So really the project, I just wanted to get really, really back to basics, find out myself a bit about, I didn't even really know what a pig's bladder looked like or how big it was or what it felt like. So to find out about that process and to share, in the first instance, to share that a little bit with people.
I know you did the stuff a while ago. I remember you talking about the meat license and stuff like that. So is there a kind of obsession with animals and meat and stuff going through your work?
at some level, I suppose there is. But I think, yeah, what would connect those things? The meat license proposal, for people who aren't aware of that, is an ongoing kind of piece of research looking at people's encounter with animal slaughter. So when we buy meat products in a shop, they are they're products. They're very packaged up, very sanitised, and we're very familiar with that. But the actual act of killing, which is fundamental to all animal related products, is quite hidden in our culture. So the meat license proposal explicitly seeks to it actually seeks to instigate a new law which would force people to engage with that violence and that act of killing. The pig's bladder football, I suppose, is a kind of related project, but I think it works in a more subtle way. And when I say subtle, on Bold Street in Liverpool last week, we, as part of the Abandoned Normal Devices Festival, opened what was called a Pig's Bladder Football Organic Football Boutique. And members of the public were able to walk in off the street, just as they would with any kind of high-class boutique shop. They could see goods on display, but they could also, behind the counter, they could see the process of their production. So literally people could walk in off the street and handle offal animal byproducts, things which they wouldn't normally see, and things which would be normally thrown away.
And did you have a good take-up for that? Did many people want to kind of get in there?
Yeah, we were really on the kind of workshops, we were really oversubscribed.
Wow, okay.
So people definitely were keen to try something that they perhaps wouldn't otherwise get the opportunity to try. You know, I've been several months speaking to an abattoir that I've been working with and setting up a supply chain so that we can get the bladders, freeze them, sanitize them in some way, disinfect them for use with the public, cure them, and then allow people to work with them and make these footballs. So that the first day of our opening in Ann Festival, the Friday, we ran two structured workshops, which were fully subscribed mostly by adults.
Right.
There were some younger people, about 16, which were mostly boys. The girls who they'd arrived with weren't as keen to get hands-on with it, but they stayed the other side of the counter and kind of looked on, watched, took photographs, you know, uploaded those to Facebook. So everybody had a kind of encounter with the process. And the second day we did it as a drop-in, where basically anybody could walk in, and we ran it all day, and we ran it until we ran out of bladders.
Mm. Okay. And I'm curious to know that, because there are a lot of... there's a bit of controversy around you saying about the sanitisation and the kind of removal from the process of killing things. There's a lot of animal rights protesters and things like that. Did you get anybody who came in and said, this isn't... Why are you doing this? This isn't all...
Well, not so much, right. But gradually, like as the project's developed, there have been like a few comments. A few people said, "Oh, you know, I'm not interested in doing this. I'm vegetarian."
Right. Yeah.
Which, you know, I also, you know, I don't eat meat, and if anything, I would see this as kind of a vegetarian-friendly project,
right?
Because these bladders are obtained from animals that are already slaughtered, so this is a byproduct. Yeah. The animals aren't slaughtered to get these bladders.
Mm-hmm.
We're not consuming the bladders, you'd be pleased to know. And I think that at some level this gives people much more of an encounter with that slaughter of animals, and brings that more to their mind than a synthetic football would. I mean, the other thing somebody said, I'm not touching that. I don't want to be near that pig's bladder. But I was able to point out, you know, their shoes are made of pig skin, you know, which is no problem. So I think, I am interested to speak to. I can see why people would have objections.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm interested to meet those people and speak with them.
Okay, that's cool. I suppose I have to ask the obligatory question. Have you tried a game of football with the pig spider football, or do you know anyone who has?
As regards knowing someone who has, I mean, my own father talked about his childhood experiences playing football with a pig's bladder. A lot of people who popped into the shop said to us, oh yeah, the butcher used to come round and he'd throw... Right. Pig's bladders, we'd kick them around. Up in Egremont, I met a lady who talked a lot about in the Second World War, where a lot of the, you know, children had to sort of make do and improvise a lot more than kind of in the post-war. And they would play football with the pig's bladders. But I was fortunate enough, this AND Festival project and the longer term element of it, which is funded by the Wellcome Trust, meant that I was able to develop the kind of process as part of the regional programme up in Egremont in Cumbria. And then as part of the Egremont Crab Fair, which is a 700-year-old country fair, an amazing thing which features the World Gurning Championships, greasy pole climbing,
wow.
Lots of... they call themselves the... capital of eccentricity.
Right. Okay.
At that annual event, I was able to stage probably the first pig's bladder football tournament to happen during this century.
Wow.
Which was great.
Cool. And how many people were involved in that? Did you have a few different teams? Or?
Yeah, we were able to set up a five-a-side style tournament, which was... worked really well, because the bladders are they're inconsistent, they don't bounce perfectly, they don't necessarily go in the direction you think they're going to go in, so they acted as a bit of a leveler, and it meant that everybody could enjoy playing the game, which is what, for me, football is about. It's about enjoying playing the game.
That definitely makes sense. And I know going forward, this isn't the end of the project, there's more stuff to come. You were talking about this project with, is it Liverpool University or John Moores? I think it's Liverpool University, to develop to kind of grow a pig's bladder football type thing from your own cells. Is that right?
That's pretty much it, yeah. So at the very, very beginning of this project, I spoke with John Hunt at the University of Liverpool Clinical Engineering Department about the use of pig's bladders historically, the way in which footballs have been made historically. And then I basically put it to him, you know, that if if we weren't using rubber and synthetic materials to make footballs, just would it be feasible to grow in a laboratory tissue to create a football, to create a kind of inflatable architecture which could be used to have a game with, you know, outside of kind of clinical constraints and budgetary constraints? And he, you know, he said to me, well, yeah, that is, I suppose that is technically feasible. So that's where we started from. And as I say, this is really the very beginning of the project. Over the next year, we're going to be working through a kind of iterative process towards the cultivation of a laboratory-grown football using pig cells, using human cells, which will be my own cells.
Oh, excellent. That sounds really cool. So what's the... it sounds really bad, but what's the kind of end goal for the project? Do you have a, you know, a thing that you'd like to see an outcome from the end of it? Or?
I suppose, yeah, I do have... Very rarely, with the kind of work that I make, which is all about process and people's encounter with process, it's quite rare that I actually have a clear end goal, especially with the work being quite emergent and, you know, shooting off in different directions. But with this project, it's dead clear. You know, we want to make a football from living cells. We want to exhibit that. We want people to encounter that, to be able to handle it, and we want to, yeah, to take a keen interest in the dialogue that that opens up about work with human tissue.
So, if people listening to this want to find out more, where should they go? Have you got a website for it?
Yeah, there's pigsbladderfootball.com.
Okay,
is your first kind of port of call, and also, which is obligatory these days, there's Facebook, you know.
Twitter, all that kind of stuff.
Facebook, Twitter, anything you want, Flickr, Vimeo, just it's up there on the web, yeah.
Excellent, excellent. Okay, thanks very much.
Thank you very much.